This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
A lot we want to get to with this next guy, Eduardo Perez, ESPN, very kind with his time. If you heard him on the Auburn-Florida game last night, his travel of late has been insane. We find him now in Atlanta on his great tour. How are you, Eduardo? Are you okay?
Oh, I'm in the middle of some traffic jam trying to direct my cabbie here to the hotel as I'm in Atlanta now, and traffic is unbelievable to hear the GPS in the background.
Okay.
This is great.
If you need to,
live radio at its best.
Yes, if you need to go at any time, you just tell us. But
I'm chilling out. I'm my cabbie's GPS.
So okay. Good. That game last night, Eduardo, a lot of fans around here watching it, the Auburn fans, it had a little bit of everything, but overall that was just a spectacular game with everything imaginable on the line.
It was. You know, besides the outcome, and I know the Auburn fans aren't happy with the outcome, they have to be unbelievably pleased with the job that Butch Thompson and his coaching staff have really done with their players. Their players deserve a lot of credit. They were in unbelievably hostile territory. And what I saw yesterday was whichever team was going to win was going to represent this bracket amazingly. The Gainesville, just the Gainesville series, unbelievably. The Auburn Tigers did an unbelievable job. They really did. Defensively, you're talking about the plays that they made. From the left fielder to the center fielder to the third, to the second baseman, you name it. They just played a great game, and it was just unfortunate that there had to be a loser yesterday. And in this case, it was the Auburn Tigers, but what a finish. What a series. It could have gone either way, and, the Gators are now representing the Gainesville Regional.
Okay, go back to the bottom of the 11th. Ball comes off the bat of Langworthy. Did you think it was gone? And, if it doesn't hit glove of Steven Williams, do you think it goes out or you think it hits wall?
When he made contact, I did not think that it had enough air under it to go. I know it was hit really well. Langworthy had already just taken Greenleaf deep the day before, so I was thinking there's no way this ball's going. And then Williams just had such a great jump in right field. He put himself in a perfect position to make the catch. It would have been an extraordinary catch if he would have done it. And we replayed it, not only in our booth, but then we went back to the truck, replayed it, and we still aren't 100% sure if it would have gone or not. And if it would have, it probably would have hit the top of the wall and then gone over. So he did what he had to do. Williams did his best for it, and it was unfortunate. And but what a player he's going to be for the Auburn Tigers. It's an unfortunate event again, but what a finish. Langworthy just had Greenleaf's number in both at-bats that he faced that he had him against. But again, it's going to be I guarantee you, the next year or the year after, Auburn Tigers are probably going to be representing themselves well in Omaha.
We're friends with Charles Barkley on the show, him being from Birmingham, and I was listening to the broadcast, watching the broadcast last night. Nobody loves Auburn like Charles Barkley, and you had a little text thread going with him.
Love Charles, man. He's an awesome person, good friend, and he was texting back and forth with me. We do that with each other while he's on set on TNT, and the same thing while I'm on set or broadcasting a game, and just imagine it's an Auburn game, and I knew he was probably watching, and a lot, just like any other Auburn fan would be, last night, and he started texting and saying, you know, it's a great listen, and then all of a sudden when that strike three, which should have been called with Jonathan India at the plate, wasn't, what I do is to save any grace, I just start speaking Spanish. I think it's the easiest way out for me, knowing when something's wrong. And something was definitely wrong with that call yesterday. And you know, it gave life to the Gators. It gave them an extra hitter. It rolled the lineup over. Things could have been different. But it was unfortunate that call wasn't made. And so I just asked Charles, what do you think about this call? We replayed it for him, and he had a choice of words that I couldn't say on air.
Not Spanish, right?
And it wasn't in Spanish.
Yes.
I know you can't take this for granted if you're a Florida fan, but this is seventh trip to the College World Series in 11 seasons under Kevin O'Sullivan. You played for a guy at Mike Martin at Florida State. He's been to 16 College World Series and still amazing that he's still never won one.
No, no. And every player that wants to wear that Seminole uniform, they want to win one for them. They want to have an experience that none of the other teams could have ever had. That they wanted to bring a championship for them and a national championship at that. And, you know, I tried it. I tried it twice and to no avail in 89 and 91. But, you know, it's just if it's meant to be, it's meant to be, and it hasn't been for 11, Mike Martin, for all those years. But still an incredible coach, an incredible teacher with a lot of passion. But then again, there's so much parity right now in college baseball that anyone can win it. We saw the Shants of Coastal Carolina win it 2 years ago. That was amazing. The Gators won it last year. There's three SEC teams that are representing this year. In college baseball, the Huskies, the Washington Huskies, they've never been, and they're going to the dance this year. So it's going to be a lot of representation. You have a team that's never been, and then you have a team that's been 36 times in the Longhorns. It's going to be interesting. It really is.
Few more moments with Eduardo Perez, ESPN. He's with us in Atlanta now, not down in Gainesville, because tonight 6:30 ESPN Braves Mets. It is Henry Aaron night. Your father, the great Tony Perez, was a contemporary of Henry Aaron, so I know you grew up watching him. What did he mean to guys like your dad who were contemporaries of his and guys like you who came up kind of in that next generation?
You know, it's really interesting. Once I got assigned the Brave game for Henry Aaron Day, the first thing I did was I went to my best resource, and that's my dad. Sat down and said, Dad, we got to sit down, have a little lunch, and talk Hank Aaron. And he said, quickest hands he's ever seen. And you'll hear me say it again, probably in the open, and most likely I'll have the honor of sitting with him for four innings, talking baseball, talking about his life. And again, if you guys have a way of getting a hold of me through Twitter, if you want to ask questions, definitely I'll read them, and if they're valid, I'm going to ask Hank Aaron, because I think it's a special moment to be able to have him in the booth. But he told me, he said, Ed, it's the quickest hands. Everybody knows him for his home runs, but look how many hits he got in his career. Even if you take away all of his home runs, he would have had over 3,000 hits. That's how good Hank Aaron was. That's how good of a hitter he was. He had great hand-eye coordination. He had a discipline. He hit the ball better than anyone to right center field early on in his career. He never flew open in a swing, always stayed in there, and it was by the beautiful scissor kick that he had, is what I call it, where that back leg, the right leg, kicks out, and he would hit off his front leg. And Ted Williams loved watching Hank Aaron swing the bat, because he said, I don't understand how a power hitter like this can elevate the ball hitting off his front foot. And that's the type of hitter Hank Aaron was, but it was because he would be able to scissor kick everything, keep that back leg towards the third base dugout, and the front hip would always stay clear, would always stay closed, and he would hit everything out in front. And with those strong wrists, big hands, Hank Aaron became a legend and continues to be an impact in baseball to many African-American kids and to many baseball fans all over the world.
ESPN will honor the Alabama native tonight in their broadcast, Mets and Braves, over in Atlanta. You grew up around your dad, Tony Perez, in the locker room, in the clubhouse there. Do you remember the first autograph you ever got? Did you used to get autographed from the Big Red Machine, or were they just like uncles, guys who were always around you?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I wish I would have collected autographs and baseball cards, especially because I had really good access. really good access. But we knew the rules. We knew the rules in the clubhouse. We thought as kids that we were also big leaguers. It's the life that we knew. And we continued to just go to the ballpark and play in the tunnels of at the t- time Riverfront Stadium, which then turned into Synergy Field, which then was demolished and demolished in favor of Great American Ballpark. So it's just an honor to at least having grown up around such greatness. And it's really cool that as a Cincinnati Red kid, 12 of us signed professionally and 5 of us went in the first round because of the knowledge that we gained by being around such greatness.
I know it was 40 years ago, so it might be hard to remember, but running around as a 5 or 6 year old, did you have a favorite uncle in that clubhouse? Was it Joe Morgan, Johnny Bench, Pete Rose, any of those guys?
Concepcion.
David Concepcion. David Concepcion was my guy. He had the coolest glove out of all. So in all father and son games, I remember Joe Morgan would say, "Hey, you're a little kid. Use my glove." I used a small glove. I was like, way too small for me. It's not that cool. I love David Concepcion's glove. It was a beautiful Rawlings, man. It was just perfect. And so that I loved. But we spent a lot of time at Pete Rose's house when we were young. And it was a very tight-knit group. Think about it. No social media. No distractions. It was just about the team on and off the field. And that's the part that I really, really enjoyed.
He is Eduardo Perez. We have tweeted from the Roundtable account his Twitter handle, at PerezED, and he says, good Hank Aaron questions. He'll fire them off to Hammer and Hank tonight on ESPN at 6:30. So if you've got a really good, thoughtful question, send that in. That'd be pretty cool. Eduardo,
please help out.
Yeah, man. Baby. You've been great with your time. We really, really appreciate it. Safe travels this week, and hope to do it again soon.
Hey, guys, hang in there with your team, man, because there's only to be proud of it, man. It was a great series, and it was an honor to at least to have been able to be a part of it.
Yeah, very well said. Thank you. Be careful.
Where college football never ends.
The kick is good! Auburn wins! 22-19! The Auburn Tigers are on top of the college football world.
The Jocks Roundtable with LT, Dunaway, and Brown.
All right, guys, thanks.